Welcome to Star from the Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games, of an SLP Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a minute, joins me to talkcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talks website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for quality 17702 or Star of the Universe On Call or SFU On Call. Any one of those should actually help you find us. And of course, if you want the best online experience, where you want to go to is twitch.tv. Yes, twitch.tv/SFU On Call. You'll find us there and you'll be able to join the wonderful chat room. You'll be able to chat with them and possibly I might be able to respond to you. So, if you don't want to call, that's one way of doing it. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuonccall@gmail.com. It's sfuonccall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter /X/ whatever it is this week, you can follow me on sfuonccall. Lately, I haven't been posting much there. And save for Paul Franz, that's my personal account. You might not. Again, you can follow me, but that account, I rarely post anything. And then there's Franz Games, which is my business account for things that happen with SFP Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. And of course, these lovely talkcasts get turned into podcasts available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB this week. Steve Cole created some demo tokens for ACTA SF, you know, the call to arms Starfleet. Also, Steve Petrick has been working on the Orion NIC MSSB, you know, the ship, Starship book for the Orion's NIC, which is going to be cool to see. Also, there will be a new newsletter coming up this next week. On the online store, we have a call to arms Starfleet Reinforcements 1. This is $29.95. That includes new types of ships, including advanced technology X ships that were more powerful than your ship, your fleets. War dreadnoughts add depth to your squadron. The juggernauts add shriek missile. Of course, there are rules for X ships. There are 7 new scenarios. One scenario is based on the story that appeared on Captain's Log. We added it to the book. Finally, there's a consolidated index to all 3 books. Reinforcement, as a reminder, Reinforcements 1 has all the rules and information you need to play the game when combined with book number 1.2 and book number 2. Please note, you must have book 1.2 to play this game. Some of the material assumes you have the expansion book 2. So, obviously, you have to if you want to take full advantage of that product, you have to have book 1.2 and book 2. If you're a Call to Arms SF fan, you will know what that means. Because that's one thing actually I was looking at today, and called book 2 is basically an addendum, a clarification, an addition to book 1.2, which, what can I say? To me, I prefer just have one book. That might be more expensive to have both of them together, but I'm sure there's a reason the Steve Cole, AB in general, did that. Moving onward and forward, the SFP Online Tournament, the Sapphire Star Crown Tournament, the finals, Ron Brynmeyer in the GBS versus Seth Szymanski in the arc, you know, the Ron and the KR, they're playing that probably now. Because they said it was going to be 8 o'clock Eastern Time Thursday night. It's Thursday night. So they were playing right now because it's 9:30 around my time. So it should be still going on by the time when I'm hearing this. But by the time you hear this, it'll probably be over. Or it might just be paused, as you know, sometimes these games can be very long, and this is going to be a plasma versus drone. This could be a long, long, long game, so don't expect it to be done this evening. Moving onward and forward to the library report, not much happening there. The completed conversions are still the same, and same for FedCom library. This is still the same. I did get some additional improvements from Frank this past week. I have not had a chance to actually add them to the library and update those things. When it comes to Starfleet Warlord, just a quick reminder, actually I've been working on the website. It's pretty coming pretty far along, and still have some things to get done. It's the same, especially when it comes to the integration with PayPal. And so with that is the news for this week. Welcome to Starfleet News On Call. I am Paul Franz. And you're not. And it's me. Yes, it is. And tonight, we have with us Doug. How you doing, Doug?
I'm here. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Oh, by the way, I've yet to check with my daughter if she actually wants the paints. So.
Okay. I'll use that stuff if she doesn't.
Oh,
no use letting it go to waste.
Oh, I know.
I could make half and other stuff out of it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
There's that.
Agreed. That's what I was thinking, that if she's not interested, then yeah. Then I think, I should definitely give it up. Have her give it up. But anyhow, before we start for the main topic for this evening, I want to start with a quick update when it comes to Starfleet Warlord. I know I did mention it last week, and I'm just going to tell that I actually did have progress, which is when it comes to the Starfleet Warlord, the new website. There it is. Okay. A lot of it is still same old, same old. The big thing here, okay, don't mind me, I'm just making sure. Okay, let's make sure I was sharing, which is, okay, the account. Okay, I'll just go with this. Okay, yes, enter my password. And you log in, and now you can see, it now actually allows you to see your information. And now you actually can go in and you can actually update your information. I still have to add the ability to change your password, but in theory, these two should work. Okay, initial builds for new game, that definitely does work. The pay for turns, I've gone to the degree that I brought up PayPal. I really have to test it all the way through and put some money, pay for turns for my account and make sure that the balance gets updated. This will let you know, for those people who want to try out the site, one, it's going to be up and down. It might work, it might be broken. So at the moment, I just say, wait. yes, it is new.playbyemail.com. If you want to try it out, fine, but realize it's a work in progress. And so I might bring it down. I might have a bug, depends upon when you hit it. But at some point there will be a change password that will allow you to actually change the password for your account. At the moment, it doesn't let you change your password. I've obviously one thing that was missing from the old website, which is creating an account. And I need to do that, when it comes to the original new website, the whole idea was that you're going to go to a third party to actually create the account. Now I have to have it so that you actually can create the account from here. I'm not sure how I'm going to set it up. There's two ways I was thinking about it. One is here. And so have a login and have a sign up button. So a sign up button, what we do is probably give you user, you just whatever user account you want, it would try to use that one and try to create an account. Or possibly in the sign up might be go to a second web page. Now that's the one way of doing it, is either from the My Account page or from actually create another web from the navigator window here to actually called create an account. I haven't figured out quite which way I want to go with that. Actually, probably what I should do is go check some of the other websites out and how they do it. Because I know most, well, some of them, they have it so you do a login, and on the login page, they say, oh, sign up. And then there's other ones that say, click here for login. And then they're right next to it, which is a sign up link. So versus this is a little different setup where you actually have an actual one for your account. So, oh boy. I'm not sure if you heard that. That was a thunderstorm kind speaking its presence. So hopefully we won't lose power and then go bye. In theory, oh guys, here's the thing. In theory, if we lose power, and that means I'm working in the dark. In theory, I should continue to be able to stream because I actually spent like a couple $100, I think. That's maybe a little bit over $100. I got some small UPS things, which the only reason I have them is for one thing and one thing only, and that is to back up my network. That has it backs up my two. I have two routers in my house. They're both all connected to that. Also, my cable modem is connected to that UPS, and of course, I'm using my laptop, so it has automatically UPS built-in UPS by itself because the battery. And over here is also my monitor setup, which is an iPad. And since on the screen I'm using is the laptop screen, I won't have to worry about charging that one because I have, believe it or not, I actually have a screen right there behind the camera. Which actually, for that one, I'm just using that as backlighting. It works actually quite well, so that's why I've been bringing it up. But that's I actually have a website called starsfwa.com, and the first page is basically pretty blank. I still haven't gotten around to actually doing something a little more better about it. It has two links on it. It has a how-to video which goes to YouTube. And has another link, which is just the aid. So it's basic. It's a web page. It's not supposed to dazzle you or draw you in. It's not that. It's just a home page to click the two different links. That's all it is. When it comes to Google Foo, it should be to have the worst Google Foo ever. Because you might have some links to it, but that's gonna be about it. And I doubt you'll be able to find it on the internet. So.
Do you have any meta tags on that thing?
Nope. I haven't said any meta tags. There's no reason to. I'm not trying to encourage people to come to the website. If you don't play Starfleet Warlord, I don't want you on this website. To be honest.
Aw.
It's later on, maybe, but at
There's
this
a
moment,
curiosity factor.
yeah. But okay, I'll show you what WA. Okay, right now it's not
People coming
secure.
by might be how to get new players.
Yeah, this is the home page. The aid is this what it looks like, and basically. The aid is very rudimentary. I still have to work on. I definitely have to work on some because right now it does not actually, it does not verify the orders. It really needs to sit down and verify the order. But the idea is you choose a file and let me see. I don't have any files with me. By name, should be web orders. There. This is the old one, right? Yeah, back in July last year. Okay. So I bring this up, brings this all up. Now, here's the one thing. It's all in browser. That means if I go like this and go like this, actually, I can't believe it's actually still there. I was expecting it to disappear. But if I close this window and bring it back, basically this will be gone. Because it doesn't save anything locally. It's all in memory. It's all part of that. It's all in memory. And, you know, as I said, this doesn't, you can do okay, 1605 and go on to the next column and 1607. And notice it won't tell you that, oh, hey, wait a minute, that's an invalid movement between 1605 and 1607. On my regular A, this actually turns red. And so we're down here for like extra orders. So let's say you type in PS, so purchase ship. Okay, and of course, this should be PS. And then parameter, okay, that would be, let's say, Gorn. And that's Command Cruiser, Warp Gate 1. So, but if I type in, let's say, X, let's go XX, again, doesn't verify it. So to it, oh, that's a valid, that's just text at the moment. But that's one thing I need to do is actually add some verification into it. And after you're all done here, the whole idea is that then you click save and actually it saves it to your local drive. So you want to bring up one that's, that one now has upload that, open that. And now you see it still has everything that's been saved previously. So that's the whole idea there. Now, see, that's why I don't have this as a landing page for people. That's one thing I want to do, which is actually have a landing page for people. So I think, you know, land on it, land on this website, and you'll have a landing page. Okay, this is what Starfleet Warlord's about. And then the one link that's going to be on the page is create an account. And the idea is that after you create an account, then I have your email address. The email address, I'm going to add you to like Constant Contact or something like that. One of these automated mail things, which will then send you pieces of mail to say, oh, possibly you might want to look at this. You might want to look at this. You might want to look at this and so forth. You know, kind of a welcoming thing which shows you the different steps. Obviously, this is a lot of work, which I still have yet to do. No, I've got the ideas. It's just sitting down and actually working on it. So I just wanted to mention that for those Starfleet Warlord fans out there, and that just to let you know that, yes, I'm actually working on it. Actually, to be honest, a lot of what I did for my account, this was all done, a lot of it was done, well, actually was at Gamers of Summer because of the turnout for the tournament was, let's say, lackluster. And that's the topic for this evening, which is what can we do? What are some ideas to improve, how to attract people to an event? Because obviously, from a geek perspective, for the most part, we did everything right. We posted on Facebook. We posted on different email lists that are they aren't general email address lists. These, and same for Facebook, these are all targeted websites. These are people who play Starfleet Battles and like Starfleet Battles and love Starfleet Battles. And asking them, okay, anyone who's in the Harrisburg area, you know, come on out, you know, oh, within driving distance of Harrisburg. You know, I'm not going to ask someone to fly out from California for our tournament. You know, if they want to, hey, I'm not going to stop you. But that wasn't the target audience that I was expecting to get. I was expecting to get people that are relatively local, meaning Baltimore, possibly Philadelphia, Harrisburg area, anybody in York, within an hour and a half drive, maybe 2 hours, maybe, and 2 hours would be pushing it. Obviously, if people want to get a hotel, they could, because we're staying at a hotel, they want to get a hotel room, they could get a hotel room.
Nice hotel.
Oh, it was a really nice hotel. Obviously, the one thing we did not do as a convention, we didn't have reduced rate rooms available for people, which is understandable given that it's relatively small conventions. It's not like we have.
Actually, I asked them about that for the winter.
Oh, okay.
So, because that'll be like an incentive for people to actually like rent rooms. We do have people that come in from outside of the local Harrisburg area. Mm-hmm. We have a group that comes up from Gettysburg, and they have members that are from like all around the region that will drive in.
Mm-hmm.
And at least two of them, I think, shared a room, maybe stayed over. But I can't really speak for like the vast majority of them because the weather is really nice. So it's not like they have to worry about driving there in bad weather. But in the wintertime, that's a whole different ballgame. So I did ask the venue about doing something like that
mm-hmm.
for our folks this coming winter.
Yeah, I would think that definitely during winter that they might be more open to that, because I know it's not like we can guarantee them like 10 to 20 hotel rooms are going to be booked,
not at this point in time, no.
Right. Oh, and I said I think some conventions hotel room deals, there's a guarantee there that we can guarantee that we're gonna have this many rooms booked, so
it's like if you're going to something like Origins, yeah.
Right.
And I'm not going to try and like overthink it. So,
right. Oh, okay.
If we get a rate change, then yay. And if we don't get a rate change, well, that's not too horrible either, because the rates aren't exactly, it's not like New York prices.
True.
And it's also going to be in the off season. So
mm-hmm.
it's not like we're going in there saying, hey, look, we want the room for $5. No. But on the other hand, they're not going to be asked. They're not asking for your whole paycheck for one night. So,
right.
Way to go.
Agreed. If we could have it so they can get like a $10 discount, anything, I think.
I will do what I can with that.
Oh, understood.
And they usually just take a percentage off, or they have a set thing through their chain for what they'll do for like events and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
my concerns for the winter is maybe a reduced rate for people that want to stay over because of the potential for weather being bad, and the other is like a snow date in case we have like a big old blizzard come through that particular year.
True.
There's that.
True. That would be mighty helpful. And actually that definitely brings it to the top, introduces it into the topic, which is ways to attract people to the event, which in the case of, since most events don't occur in isolation, meaning, okay, we're going to have this one thing and that's all we're doing when we get there. That's the only thing that's going to be available is going to be this one event. This one thing that you're going to be doing. That's a rare thing. Things like getting, encourage people to get a hotel room and stay there overnight. Even it's just one night, and especially, as we're trying to look for it, which is
that doesn't really have much to do with our whole thing about getting people to the event in the first place. It's just a It's just kind of a nice thing to go with it.
Yeah,
if but we can get like the reduced rate thing.
Yeah, but to a certain degree, it could attract some people in that the people that might be a little further away might be more willing to come if, you know, one, obviously the location is close by to something else they might want to go do later on, or a reduced hotel rate. So then, okay, you know, it would be a pain if we had to drive back and forth, but if we get a hotel, you know, we can stay there overnight and, you know, we can play.
Oh yeah.
Play as long as we want. Yeah. And then
and
just go upstairs.
Yeah. And that's why, like I said, I've already asked them about that.
Hmm? Yeah. So
we'll see about how that works out with the venue.
Right.
So that, I think the main thing is just getting the word out there. Like, because this is the first time we've run a tournament, attempted to run a tournament, I think, in ages. And, you know, we're also coming up a few weeks off of the big one up in Schenectady, I think it is.
Yeah. They
only like in a few weeks. And they have a bunch of people that have pre-committed to that. And here's the issue is that could be a lot of people's, like, they don't get to go out to these kind of events very often. So they're going to pick the ones that they've known are going to have like the people at it. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of people who went to that event and committed to that and not ours. That's going to be the only one they can get to because of family commitments and whatnot. You know, we may have a much better turnout if we repeat this in February than Labor Day weekend. Because Labor Day weekend is always tough. It's our short convention. It's basically when there's a lot of people doing travel and have like family reunions and whatnot. So I think we'll do better if we like recommit to doing it in February, even if we don't do anything different than what we've done, which is hit those targeted audiences and letting them know that it's there.
Understood.
The only thing that kind of gets me on it is, and this is something I've heard from other people they come in for other games and events, is that sometimes people come out and they look at the overall event and they say, oh, this is small, and then they don't come back. And when they do that, the thing doesn't grow. So I think it's a persistence thing. And, you know, perhaps in the winter, if, you know, the big gathering up in New York is basically no more. Maybe some of the people who go to that from down in this part of the woods will come out for this. I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
we'll see.
Okay. Number one, that's possible. That's the cause for the decreased interest. Obviously it's the first time we've tried this, so it's hard to get people interested in a first time thing. Two
and a few years back, and I'm talking like maybe 8 or 9 years when we were doing the Comfort Suites out in Grantville, we did have like a small number of people come out, and I guess for SFB it would be a large number nowadays. But, you know, remember we had that table where they were doing a nice big old setup with multiple people playing a scenario that was with miniatures and everything. And it was really kind of cool. But we didn't have like a tournament thing going. So,
yep.
And for the record, at least two of the people that I think came out just, no, three. No, two of the people definitely moved out of the area, like literally out of state. Or at least one moved out of state and the other moved to practically out of state in that same general direction of multiple hours away. Well, there's that.
Agreed.
Okay, you were saying.
Yeah, what I was going to say is that there is one thing we could roll into, because one thing that's happening next year in July. Let me see if it's there. I know what it Let's see what's on the discussion board. Bum, bum, bum. I'm sorry, I think things are a tiny bit awkward. See it off. Topics. Conventions. Convention news. Convention announcements. See, is it there? I don't think it's really a convention.
There is one thing that I think would be very helpful for getting more people out, mm-hmm. that may bring in some SFB players. And that would be that if we have a targeted little campaign of people putting flyers out here and there.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I haven't really done in a few years because most of what we've gotten has been word of mouth.
Oh, agreed.
Which has been sufficient up to this point. But like just going out and putting up signs in libraries, something like that, putting up small flyers, small posters,
mm-hmm.
An in-game shop and saying, who likes SFB? Well, we have a tournament at this convention. Da 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 da.
Right.
There's,
really, Kat?
That is a possibility.
Okay.
Oh, speaking of cats, we have a parrot cat when there's a thunderstorm, apparently.
I don't see it. Okay. I will drop trying to find it and just announce it, which is basically there is the big SFU Starfleet Universe big blowout happening in July. It's a big gathering in Schenectady. They're trying to get people together for one big last like SFB, SFU game, just game fest is what it is. And mm-hmm. what I was
trying, on their mailing list,
what I was thinking about doing is leaning into that and saying, starting, I don't know, maybe December, maybe January, leaning into that. And for those people that are going, when we find out who's actually going to that convention, at least committed early, we can start asking them, okay, tell them, hey, why don't you guys get together at our convention? We're having a tournament. So basically as a warm-up tournament for when you head off to the big shoe, the big blowout.
Oh, we'll see. I mean, that's next year. I thought there was one this year that was a big blowout. But
no, they're having one this year, but it's not the big blowout. The big blowout, they said it was going to be in 2024. They sent out the email.
So the thing about we won't be a warm up for them because our two events are very far apart as far as that goes.
Yeah. Okay. So it's 5 months apart.
Their thing's not till July.
Oh, I understand. But
yeah, I mean, just letting them know we're here.
Yeah. At least.
And we're doing it.
Yeah.
Because we were on their mailing list.
Oh, I know. That's SWA Gaming. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They actually mentioned our event.
Hmm. Yeah. They announced both. I think. And that's when you announced it, and also when I sent out a mailing to all my SFB online people. So, people that play online, and it's like, okay, there's an event happening in Harrisburg. So if you guys want to play in person, face to face, come on out. We can play together and have lots of fun.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. On the other side of it, we're fighting the graying of the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sad reality of it.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. That's that's why. That's one thing I was thinking about today, and actually looking at it for the past couple of days. Actually, first I was looking at the big guy. I forget his name. That basically he mentioned that he has Star Trek ascendancy. And so for the past 2 days,
Oh,
it's like I'm focusing on that for a lot.
Brian, yeah.
Yeah. I spent like an hour and a half watching YouTube videos on this game. And it looks kind of fun. Obviously, the one thing that the one downside to it of the game, it's like what's the game that Barry was playing? Cosmic Conquest? Or
No. No, I know what you mean. It's Twilight Imperium.
Starlight Imperium, yes.
The one they
Starlight
were
Imperium.
playing all day on Saturday or on Sunday.
Yeah.
That was Sunday all day. Yeah.
Yeah, Star
It's in
Trek.
that vein because that's the kind of vein, that's the kind of games that guy likes. He's big into those sort of games. So
Understood.
yes.
Understood.
Does not
Yeah.
surprise me.
Oh, understood. But the point is that the only issue I find with the game, and obviously you have to really want to play this game, in my mind. You might first have to be introduced to it and make sure that you enjoy it first, because to could do run a complete game might take like 3 hours to do it. Now I understand, pot calling kettle, that playing Starfleet Battles game could take like 3 hours to play. I understand that. So I see the degree of hypocrisy to a certain say.
Here's one of the big here's one of the big caveats of our event. It's literally set up to be there for people to come out and try out new stuff that people have. So you don't have to go buy the thing to learn it necessarily.
Right.
Because we have a ton of people who bring a wide variety of games, and that falls right into that vein. If you brought that out and ran it for a session or two, then you could give it that try and see if you really like it or not without having to spend the money on the game. The other thing that we're really well set up for is coming out and, you get your niche game fix in, that you don't get to do all the time somewhere else. And, that's basically it. I mean, that's part and parcel for the raison d'être for the whole raison d'être, however you pronounce it. The whole thing for our event. Instead of you having to go out and spend, $100 to $200 on a game and or expansions and or whatever to get the full experience out of it to see if you like it, you've got, Brian will bring his game out and there you go. You get to try it and have somebody explain how it works.
You want to
And
call
then
it?
with like SFC, like what? Sorry, go ahead.
What I was going to say is that it's a, when it comes to that, there was one game I was looking at. I just wanted to see what it was, because it came up on my YouTube feed, which was Star Wars Armada. I went, this is kind of, I've seen it before with, it's kind of like Star Wars X-Wing, or X, yeah, I think it's X-Wing. And where you actually have the pieces and you move them around and so forth on a table, and you measure distances. Basically, it's like hexless movement and all that with these big not well kind of big model miniatures that you buy and go forth. And I looked at that and went, hey, how much are the core rules on the core game? $120. And I saw one game, one piece, one ship was $40 for that one ship. And I'm going, wow, you've got to be really into this game to really, and you could spend so much. You can spend big
Yeah,
bucks
and
on
that's a
this game.
business model that. That's a business model that these companies are going after because they know they can get the money out of people. Yeah, and even so, if you think about it with the term of inflation in mind, you know, what they're spending on that today and what we spent on our games back in the day, it's not that far off. Not that horribly bad of a thing, except that it is kind of still, it is pricey though when you get into it. But once, you know, once you've got the thing, depending on the game system itself, if they're trying to be super predatory or not, you're good to go. I mean, kind of like oh good Lord, when I bought a couple war games back in the 80s, and my friend said, why did I spend $50 on two games? So they were like $25 each. And I told them, you know, straight up, the amount of time I would spend playing just one of them justified it.
Right.
You know, compared to like if I spent the same amount of money on just, you know, cases of beer here and there, the beer's gone, whereas the game is there until I like lose it, sell it, trade it off, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have tons more hours of time out of that than I will the equivalent amount of alcohol. But the big problem though that I see with a lot of games like that that are taking that that model is that they're kind of predatory. You know, and I say that because like today's thing is going to be obsolete next month. You're going to have to buy the new thing to keep up with everybody else. You have to basically play keep up with the Joneses, except that you are, you'll never truly have everything you want and or need for that particular game. Hmm. They'll always keep coming out with something new to get the money out of you. And in that sense, compared to the traditional board gaming that we're used to, I just don't like it.
Oh, understood.
You know, just from the pure business model. But anyway, getting people out to our event, I think it's going to be a matter of persistence and maybe people not having another thing, like when they shut down the game from, you know, New York. That's a big deal because I think that is probably the largest gathering in this region.
Mm-hmm.
People who like this game.
Right. Well, okay.
I mean,
let's back up.
You see posts all the time, but.
Mm-hmm. Continue.
Go ahead.
Okay. What I was going to say is just back up for a moment. Because, yes, Ken. Okay. In my mind, we have two different things here. We have one, which is the event being, in this case, the Starfleet Battles Tournament, which is a single offering at a smaller convention. Let's say just a convention at all. Well, a smaller convention. And then there is the way to attract people to come to the convention, period, which are two totally different questions, because one's a more specific target. Yeah. Let me finish. It's a specific target audience when it comes to, I mean, more hyper specific compared to the general overall gaming community. So in my mind, I think part of the thing that we should do when it comes to gamers in general is definitely advertise the ability to, you know, we've got a library of games, you know, either bring your game or, you know, check out the games that we currently have. Cause I definitely gave you a good collection of games. And I know a lot of people who come to the gamers also bring their own games. So we usually have a good collection of games of people that people can play. Am I wrong?
Not entirely. The issue is advertising.
Right.
You know, in that sense, to get generally people generally interested to come out for the overall event. And the issue with that is, you know, that's a combination of money and time. You know, and that can be low key putting out flyers here and there.
Mm-hmm.
That can be low key hitting up forums and whatnot.
Right. Yeah. But
it's also time consuming, and that's where it would be, you know, helpful to have the volunteers doing that sort of thing, because people say, I go to this thing, you know, so many times a year versus just me saying, hey, here's my event, is kind of helpful. I think that's a big deal as far as like us getting people to come out. The other side of it is, what are we competing with? You know, I mean, like Harrisburg Game Day has popped up somewhere along the lines in the last few years, and they suck people away from us, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going out and saying, oh, we've got a free game day that you can come out and play for free, because we get a hotel, or not hotel, they get, you know, like the Whitaker Science Center to give them space for free for mm-hmm. a day, whereas we're a multi-day deal. And, you know, our space isn't free, so... the other thing is, and like I said, that's just something that we need to do as a group. We want to see the convention event overall thing grow, because we have that set up. That works really well. I mean, we do have people come in for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but really, the most part, what we have at this point in time, just looking at the room this past weekend, is we have a lot of repeat people that are coming out because they know they can play a particular game or learn something new. But it's really, a lot of it is the same people, with a handful of new people. Now, if those new people come back in the winter, you know, we may be getting them along with a bunch of people that have been here before. Because in the wintertime, we're going to see a 50% increase in attendance. That's just how it's been. And, you know, usually the summer event following the winter event is about 10 to 20% smaller. Mm-hmm. And considering that we had that COVID break, when we came back from the COVID break and filled that small venue this winter, we ended up with about 20 people less for the Labor Day one, which is about kind of what's normal, but I'm expecting it to go up significantly in the winter time when we come to our second post-COVID event. And I'll expect it to be as good as, you know, when we were out at Comfort Suites right away, but there's a lot of people that stopped going out for things like this that are still not coming out for it. And, you know, just the fact that we're still doing it may be enough to get people to come out, but it's a persistent thing, like I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
As far as getting people out for the Starfleet Battles thing, you know, whether it's, if we just say, come out and run a scenario or two or three, come out and run some demo games, that's all fine and dandy, but we don't, you know, I don't know what the deal is of why people have like not come out very often over the years. And, you know, and it could just be that it's that whole, we're the small percentage of that whole gaming community. I think that is really, when it comes to the SFB side of it, probably our largest deal with that. Not just the fact that there's not that many players within a decent tribe that want to come out for it. And here's the thing with that. It's like, okay, if you know people who are going to go to, like, you know, the Philly convention or you know, Origins or something like that, because they know they're going to meet a bunch of players there, and they say, well, your event's too small. One of the issues that I've always kind of had with that kind of thinking, and it comes from some comments that I've heard made about the event being small by people who have come out and then not come back, is that, well, you know, when you're at an event like this, if you're going there as a general, like, I want to see everything that's going on, I want to see thousands of people, yeah, you'd be kind of maybe disappointed. But if you're coming there to play one very specific game, you know, and your lane isn't going to be, I need to see 1,000 people playing different games. It's going to be basically the table that you're at. Like the guys who played Twilight Imperium, they're an excellent example of this. They could honestly care whether or not there's 5 people at the convention, it's just the 5 of them, or if there's 5,000, because at the end of the day, for their very, very niche game, they're going to be sitting at that one table the entire day and doing their thing. And they're pretty much, they're not there to watch people play D&D. They're not there to go learn a whole bunch of other new games at that point in time, although they will do that on the day before and the day after. You know, they'll play other games. But, you know, when they're there for that one specific thing, so your lane is one table or one small area with a few tables. And when we're talking, when I went to, you know, Origins, before I was a volunteer, I really didn't do much else because the primary thing was going there for the Gold Hat Tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And the Gold Hat Tournament is a very, even if you're taking the sidetrack and doing the other tournaments, like the patrol tournaments,
mm-hmm.
those are still extremely time consuming, and it essentially kind of makes the lane that you're going into just the SFB area with what's going on there. So, I mean, and I was not disappointed that I wasn't playing 30 hours of D&D or Rollmaster or, you know, anything else, you know, because I wasn't there for all the rest of that. I was coming out there for that one niche game because I couldn't really do it that much around here. And, you know, there was a small group of players in the area that over time attritioned out. So, yeah, I don't know. So, as a niche game getting people in there, you just got to let the people who like that know, and I think eventually they may start trickling in. We had 2 people come in just to learn how to play.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, because we said, hey, we're doing this. And I think that's, you know, awesome in its own way. Maybe this spring or winter they might come out. But who knows? I mean, let's just keep putting the word out. That's kind of what I got to say about it. And for the other part of just getting people in a general sense, well, you know, we've moved up in class a little bit because we've gone from Fire Hall up to basically a hotel that has multiple rooms. And this is the interesting part about that, is if we end up with overflow in the winter, they're going to pop that room next to us open and just say, here you go. You know, because they've already said they'll do that. And I like that. I like that a lot. When, you know, we were at the hotel with the Comfort Suites, that was very nice. We had people come down from Allentown, like a group of a dozen people came down. We filled that room. It was 110 plus people on, you know, one particular weekend there before. As a matter of fact, it may have been the last or next to last one we had out there when we hit that big, that number. But again, were a small event. And I don't know, because those 10 people came in as a group, but they never came back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think something else, I think what we really, 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 really need to have is some multi-day events, or events that you won't get in your typical game store, to draw people out and into it. Because there's game stores all over the area, and like there's at least a couple in the Harrisburg area, and then there's some in York, and you know, Cumberland's part of the greater Harrisburg area, but you know, Lebanon, Lancaster, all the surrounding counties. And a lot of these game stores have adopted a model that it's not quite a mini convention in the thing on any given weekend, but they're always there. They're always open on the weekends, unless there's like some special reason for them not to be. And you have a lot of people that will go out to that, where, you know, maybe they're paying $5 or $10 for a table for so many hours. Maybe they're, you know, playing in sponsored events that the shop is running, where they may get a prize out of it. One of our big things is we're a no pressure kind of event. You don't have to come in and have any kind of sales pitch thrown at you. You know, you want to learn how to play, you know, half a dozen games, and each one of these games cost $100 or more to buy. Well, gosh darn it, you can sit down and learn how to play them without buying the games. And if you want it, you can go get it from your game shop. You can get it from Amazon. You can get it through, you know, sale through Board Game Geek, wherever you want to get it. But it's not on a shelf behind you while I'm demoing the game to you with any kind of expectation. Let's see. But yeah, I think that is probably our biggest potential competition of, you want to draw people out of the woodwork. Well, there's a ton of people that are going out to all the different shops on the weekend. They've got their Magic the Gathering tournaments. They've got their X-Wing tournaments. They've got game X, Y, and Z days, you know. And if they have a gaming group, you know, that meets at their house regularly, then what do they need to come to our event for, other than if they want to learn something new? And the sad part about that is a lot of times people don't. You know, they'll get into their routine of, well, we have our D&D group, we have our Cthulhu group, we have our role-playing group, whatever version they use. And I'll say, well, I don't really feel like going out and learning a different thing at, you know, this event, when we could just get together and have fun doing our thing here without paying anything extra. Now, we did have a group like that come out, but that's because, you know, several of the people in that group said, let's go do something different and learn new things. And that's why they came out. And I hope they come back in the winter, because they had a blast, apparently. And that's basically it. Sorry, my voice is just kind of off tonight.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think if we really want to see the event itself grow, if we want to see people come in specifically for SFD, then, you know, I think we just need to get the word out there more. And I couldn't think of a better spot for people to put some volunteer time in than telling other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that there are people within our event that mention it to other people that they game with. And I'll admit that I've really dropped the ball on, like, printing out flyers and putting them out, like, in the months prior. Because that, I think we've gotten more people, new people over the years. The number one thing we've gotten people in from is word of mouth. And the second was putting flyers up wherever we can, you know. One guy works at, you know, Amazon. He puts one up on the
on their cork board, we get a few people. You know, somebody works for the state. They put one up there at their job or in the lunch break area or the cafeteria, depending on the building. We might get a few people. You know, we had a group of state workers come out one year over at the Moose. And they said that they said the famous line of that was or the one lady said, well, when I asked her, what did you guys want to do? What were you interested in? She says, we don't know. It took all our planning effort just to get here. You know, it's like, yeah. You know, it's like three or four state workers. Like, yep. And then they had a blast. They had fun. So, and that and just, you know, if we keep moving up in class a little bit, that'll help too. We did have our price increase. That may have put some people off that were used to the $10 a day thing with when we were at the firehouse. But, you know, to be able to afford the place that we just had, I had to double the price, and that still put us into a break-even situation. So, but that's our first price increase in maybe a decade.
Yeah, and it was a long time coming, and it had to happen at some point. I'm sorry, anyone who fusses at $20 a day for a place that you can stay the whole day, you can stay there for like 12 hours or more, and you can play
in all that space.
Yeah, it's you have the room. So come on, people, you no longer have this. Your apartment or a little room in your house, you've got this whole big room.
And another thing about that is
you don't have to worry about your cat taking down your board, your board game.
Remember, we were standing, I think you may have been there. I'm not sure if you were like standing nearby when I was talking and giving that bit of information out to somebody about cost relative to like, a big convention.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And it's like, and Mike was standing next to me and he pulls up the Gen Con price.
Yo.
The Gen Con price for one day was $70. You know, $12 for Sunday or 12 or $15, I forget which, for Sunday for the dealer room only pass.
Right. I think it was like
$15. That's the pay to go in and spend. And that's the pay to go in and spend money.
Right, that's not even to play games.
It's for stuff that you could. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's and it's like, yeah, okay, you want your brand new thing right now. You want your ability to go in and get that. Okay, good for you. I mean, that's stuff you could buy back home at your local game store, for God's sake. And who the hell travels for that? You know, no, most people are buying their whole weekend pass for that. Even with a special deal of only $240 for the weekend, that's nearly 10 times, you know, what we're charging a day. So it's over 10 times what we charge for a day.
Oh, agreed.
But yeah, $70 a day, $50 for the entire weekend for us. And that's Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't charge people or the additional games that they play within the event.
Right, you can play as many games as you want. You don't play per. You don't have a ticket for an event, and then that's how much it costs you for that event. You know.
Yeah, well, you're not paying like the admission fee and then event fees for each separate game you play within the event. We're a one-time fee thing, and that's that. So, yeah, it's. I don't know if it's too good of a bargain for some people, but who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of like out of ideas right this second. So.
Yeah.
Well, back to you, Paul.
Yeah. Well, I think the key here is one, leaning in to what can be considered weaknesses, but they're basically our strengths. One, we're small, which means you can actually... You're not going to be drowned out by a huge, large crowd. Two, we have a wonderful collection of people and games. And of course, since we have people there who have played those games. They can help you teach you those games, you know. And then
yeah, we have a bunch of subject matter experts in board games.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry.
And then we and you can you have a place to play as many games as you want to, and just if you want to just hang out for $20 a day. You know, and if you want for the whole weekend, it's 50. Okay. You know, that's for 3 days. You know, $50 for 3 days, which is cheap. It's compared to one of these huge conventions, which are thousands of people. You know, and the only other thing I was going to mention is that, of course, with the flyers, I'm not sure if you do this now, or at least have done this in the past, which is obviously have a link for your flyer on your website, so that people can click it and print it out themselves. If you know, for those you know that are not like don't live right next to you, you know.
Oh yeah, that's why I upload the print file to as the profile picture for the event mm-hmm. on the Facebook side of it. It literally it's put up there as the actual print file. So that if somebody wants to, they can go ahead and print it straight from that file.
Mm-hmm.
And then, or they can download the file and, mm-hmm. and take it to a print store if they want.
Yep. And as you mentioned yourself, we have to get out to the community to say, okay, if you can just stop by your local, you know, game store, your local supermarket, especially those people that are in the Harrisburg area, which well, I think would make most sense. Obviously, for me, I could do things for some of the local people here. You know, I'm not saying someone in Baltimore putting it in one of theirs, because I'm not sure how many people actually would look at a flyer for something in Harrisburg and come out that go drive all the way out to Harrisburg. That's you know, at least that's the
you
way
never
I
never know.
Oh, I know you never know. So yeah, that's the only thing I have to say on those things. You know, and if we can obviously, if we can get at least for the games that you keep that I've given you, as part of the games library, that you know we can inventory that and say, okay, these are the games that are will be available for you to play. You know,
mm-hmm.
that might be additional thing for people. You know, and you know can say you know give a listing of so many games and say and many more. You know, but what?
Yeah. Well, library of games on my part is not so much the attraction as literally the games our GMs bring.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. There's that.
Yeah, but, you know, I think that could actually...
But every bit helps.
Right, exactly. That could attract some people that have heard of a game.
And the thing is, we do a lot of things that are, slightly different. Like Mike's thing with like the Renaissance card games. I was pleasantly surprised when he told me all about that and that he wanted to run that. And people looked at it and thought that's really cool. And he got a few games in and people got to learn something and have fun with that whole thing. And that's something that you wouldn't have seen necessarily at your local game shop. So. But yeah, all sorts of different things. But I think it's a matter of just maybe it's time that when I, you know, ink our next contract to turn around and make a whole bunch of little physical flyers and get them in the hands of people to take out to different places
mm-hmm.
over the next several months.
Agreed. Okay.
I think that's probably the number one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that, you know, we could probably get some FSB players in here. If, you know, they still have their same addresses and you don't mind spending $10 with duct tape, you know. Yeah. Duct tape. Trunk. No. Maybe.
Oh, well. Yeah. Okay.
So there you go. That's kind of about all I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think with that, we'll wrap up because it's starting to get that pumpkin time where I actually have to shut things down, put things together, and ship things out. Well, Doug.
All right, thanks for having me on, Paul. Sorry about the voice tonight.
Oh, that's fine. Your voice was relatively good. Mine wasn't that good this morning, and I don't know why. Okay, well,
have a good night. There's another round of the cards.
Ah, okay. Okay, you have a good night. So, obviously, spent a good bit of talking about gamers of summer/winter and ways to improve that. But I think a lot of those are generic overall in some of the ideas on what to improve an event. You know, obviously getting the word out, and having volunteers, having other people, you know, talk about it, other people who are in your community. Also, in addition to talking to their people, you know, also advertising, you know, physical flyers are a wonderful old school way of doing things. You know, obviously, the word of mouth is always the best thing just because of when it comes to word of mouth, you know, there's nothing like it in the entire world. Because, come on, even social media and all the other people, advertisers, they know that the it's like an endorsement for a product or an event or whatever is hearing it from somebody else. That, you know, you really should go to this event or you really should buy this product. That is the number one way of getting someone to buy your product, to go to your event and saying, you should go to this, you know. A way of putting your stamp of approval on it, boom, say, yeah, I think you would enjoy this, that kind of thing. So that, obviously, word of mouth is definitely the biggest part of it. Of course, I've got a pretty big, I have a pretty big mouth. Physically, maybe. When it comes to podcast-wise, I know that, you know, my audience is relatively small, especially compared to some of these other ones. And when it comes to YouTube, yankles. It's even smaller, but I'm always enjoying doing this show, and I hope the people that listen enjoy this show. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.